Does it seem like every time you turn around or open up your wallet, you're shocked at the changes that have directly impacted your life in just 2.5 years? There's something that you can do to protect the value of your hard-earned savings and retirement accounts. Contact the folks at American Hartford Gold and talk to them about your options in diversifying your assets. Empower yourself with opportunity. Hold on to the fruits of your hard work and protect your future. So do what I did and call the only precious metal dealers I trust, American Hartford Gold. Diversify your portfolio with physical gold and silver delivered right to your door or inside of your IRA or 401k. American Hartford Gold is the highest rated firm in the country with an A+ rating from the Better Business Bureau and thousands of satisfied clients. Call today and they'll give you up to $5,000 of free silver on your first qualifying order. Call American Hartford Gold today at 866-887-1188. That's 866-887-1188 or text Dana to 998899. That's 866-887-1188 or text Dana to 998899.
And so you could be the most conservative person since sliced bread. Unless you're kissing his rear end, they will somehow call you a rhino. So it's been totally detached from principle and what you actually believe and results. And it's more about, you know, just what faction you happen to do. So there'll be people who are huge Trump supporters, like in Congress, who have like incredibly liberal left-wing records that's really just atrocious. And yet they're viewed as by some of these folks as like really, really good. Then you have other people, you know, like a Congressman Chip Roy, who's endorsed me, Congressman Thomas Massey. These guys have records of principle fighting the swamp that are second to none. And yet they will be attacked by some of these people and called rhinos. So it's just been totally detached from any type of substance. And ultimately, a movement can't be about the personality of one individual. The movement has got to be about what are you trying to achieve on behalf of the American people. And that's got to be based in principle. Because if you're not rooted in principle, if all we are is listless vessels that's just supposed to follow, you know, whatever happens to come down the pike on Truth Social every morning, that's not going to be a durable movement.
So I get what he's saying there. Oh, man, there was a firestorm over the weekend. Golly, the drama. Because I don't like it when the right tries to cop some of the stuff from the left, right? And try to copy the behavior of the left. This is not in any way even remotely. Come on, guys. I mean, I can be cool with disagreement, but when you're just making up stuff, that's when I can't abide. It's not even that he's not impugning the character of anybody. He's saying we can't be. Yeah, don't become that. What's the point? I mean, yes, there's a personality aspect almost every single election, even more so lately on the right and the left than ever. So where's the lie? Welcome back to the show. Dana Lash here with you because it is Monday. You hate me for saying that, don't you? It's Monday. Oh, so we're going to get started, get you set up for the week. We got the debate this week. So this means this week is going to be even more insufferable than others. It's not my fault. Blame the GOP for having the debate. I don't even know if everybody's going to be participating in the debate. And I'm kind of tired to speculate about it. I don't know. Who knows? Who knows what's going to happen? Who knows what they're going to do? But we're going to get into all of that. We have some of the latest with Maui. We got the Bidens. We got the media. We got all kinds of stuff. To kickstart with this, though, this was over the weekend. He was asked, and I wanted to play the full cut because there were some people who were on social media that were actually not sharing the whole thing. And then when they were trying to type a quote, they were actually making up a quote, lying about what was said and putting it out there. And I'm like, you're supposed to be on the right. Like, what the hell are you doing? You're supposed to know better. By the way, I am making a list. The people that I see engaging in the media malpractice that they bemoan, I will never defend them again. And when they send me emails saying, can you retweet this? I'm going to send a middle finger gift back because I'm tired of it. Don't sit here and adopt the practices of all of the things that you demanded privately. I have those emails and messages I and so many others defend you against. Don't engage in the same thing. That's what I mean. I have so many text messages, direct messages, emails of politicians, their surrogates, outright begging for help, begging like dogs, begging. And I see these rat bastards doing the same thing, engaging in media and doing this stuff. That's what angers me about this. Don't engage in this stuff with the left. Don't work with the left. If you're working with the left against people on the right, you're the left. I have zero gray area on this. So if people I don't care if people don't like one candidate over another. I don't care. Just don't gaslight people into thinking that it's based on something that it's not. Just, you know, if you're going to dislike somebody, dislike them on something concrete. If you dislike their personality, fine, dislike their personality. I don't care. What I don't like is watching the media malpractice be so pervasive that the right uses it. So I wanted to play the full soundbite because I had a lot of people asking me questions about this over the week. And in fact, people were saying, do you have the full soundbite? Do you have this? Because someone was saying that this was, so that's why we're kicking off the show with it, because I had more people than I can count who were asking if there was a full bite, full audio of this, because they weren't trusting the what they were reading on Facebook and on Twitter and elsewhere. They wanted to hear the full thing. So we wanted to play the full thing from you. Now, I mean, and Kane, correct me if I'm wrong. I don't think that there, I listened to that soundbite. I read the full transcript. I don't see where the, I don't get why some, well, I don't get it. I don't get why people,
I don't know why they're trying to compare it to him calling Trump supporters listless vessels, because that's not,
yeah, that's not what he did.
That's not at all what happened.
Yeah. I mean, he was, I mean, he supported the president. You know, you can still like the president and also want to run for office. I know this is a crazy thing, but it's crazy. But let's think about it. You absolutely can do this. This is a thing that you can do. You can do both of these things. You can like the president, the former president, and then you can also run for office. I know. It doesn't mean that you're somehow a rhino or whatever just because you want to run for office. So with this, you know, like I said, I listened to the soundbite, didn't have any problem with it. I really didn't see the problem. He is right. We've talked about that. You got to watch out for personality. Personality is great, but you got to make sure. I want to win. I want to win 2024. Like I said, now, so we told you what was actually said. And then Kane, you were telling me this is this is audio soundbite 14. This is the way the media was running with this. Listen, because you heard what was said. Here's how this is what the media wants to pick your candidates for you. Don't let them. This is what they said.
But there was a pretty interesting moment in a recent interview where Governor DeSantis talked about Trump supporters. He used the words listless vessels.
But he wasn't talking about Trump supporters.
Hold on. I'm going to play it for everybody, and then you can go ahead. Let's listen.
A movement can't be about the personality of one individual. If all we are is listless vessels that's just supposed to follow,
look how they edited,
you know,
that.
Whatever happens to come down the pike on Truth Social every morning, that's not going to be
look
a durable
movement.
Look
how they
edited
that soundbite. So
everybody,
we played the full for you.
There was a cut. You
CNN cut takes it.
To the listless vessels. You just did what the problem is. So everybody who just watched that, understand, go read the transcript.
Okay, fine. So you summarize for us what was it that he was trying to say?
Well, first of all, his first point is an excellent point. This should be about America, not about individuals.
Fair. Okay.
And
how do we get from there to listless vessels?
Yes, well, the rest of an entire paragraph, by the way. I mean, there's a pretty big gap in your cut. So he's talking about some of the folks in D.C. who've endorsed Trump. He's talking about the more general environment. And referring to all of us collectively, we can't just sit back and take all of this, be listless vessels. We have to move ahead with a different vision. That was not Trump assigned. And so, folks, go read the transcript. You don't have to listen to me. You go read it yourself.
So that's what, there's a big difference. There's a huge difference. Exactly. So is it wrong? Is media malpractice when media runs biased pieces? Is it wrong or is it right? Especially when you run with it and you work with them on it. It's a question I have. So this actually, I think, obscures some of the bigger things we could be talking about. You know, it really does. This is just to give you DeSantis's response on this. He had a piece, a statement that came out through their press secretary. And it said the dishonest media refuses to report the facts. And it had the full transcript of the remarks in there. And it said that, the media refuses to report the facts. Why? Because some people feel like they're entitled to your vote. I mean, and that's true. That is true. I do get that feeling as well. I mean, there are people who've gotten mad at me because I don't view this as a monarchy, because I don't view our primary system as a monarchy in which nobody else has the right to run. And he made a really, there was a really good point there when he was talking about there are some people in Congress who are elevated as a conservative standard, but they have super liberal voting records. But the only reason that they're elevated is because they endorse the former president. Elise Stefanik, y'all could go look at her voting record. I don't personally, you know, I think she's fine as a person, but y'all go look at her voting record. If she was your, if this was like limited government conservative Tea Party days, y'all would be out in her yard with torches and pitchforks. I'm not joking. Go look at her. She has a liberal voting record. Go look at it. And then to call someone like her the conservative standard, and then call someone like Chip Roy, who is one of the most conservative people to ever be elected to Congress, to call him a rhino. That is not anything based on fact. That's based on a cult of personality, like the Living Color song. And so that is absolutely 1,000% correct. For real, go look at her voting record. I don't have time this first hour to go through it, but I will. If invited, I'll go through every single vote she's taken since she's been in office. Y'all fall over. You will fall over. And that's held as the conservative standard because of simply because of one endorsement, because who they endorse in 24. That's not the standard of conservatism. The standard of conservatism is conserving individual liberty against big government. Do you want the ATF abolished? Do you want the IRS abolished? Do you want Big Fed out of our kids' schools and parents actually being able to control what is age appropriate for their kids to read, when and working with the schools to determine when or when not to introduce that stuff? I mean, do you want to get involved in every damn foreign war that's out there? I mean, this is the stuff I'm talking about. That's the measure of what it is to be a limited government conservative, conserving the power of the individual. Not, well, I endorse this person in 2024 over this person. That's not a measure of conservatism. That's a measure of personality. And that's exactly what he's talking about. And he's not wrong. There is not a damn thing wrong with saying that. And if there's something wrong with saying it, there's something wrong with our public discourse. That means we're getting into Borg territory. We are getting into Borg territory. I'll be damned that I make someone apologize for simply saying something with which I disagree. If you're disagreeing, disagree on fact. But if we're going to get into wade into this, you know, miles wide, inches deep shallowness that is what we see on the left all the time, we have bigger problems as a movement than this election. Got to tell you. Now, with this, rolling into the debate, I was telling you who Chris Christie hadn't signed the pledge. One of my friends texted me and said, I'm surprised that he hasn't agreed to do it just so he can have green room access to the snack table. About that, I was like, you're apparently unfamiliar with that network's craft services or absence thereof. But I'm just saying, it's funny. But so far, that hasn't changed. The lineup hasn't changed at all. And we're going to talk about strategery. We're going to talk about all of that stuff coming up. All right. I got to share with you this headline. Oh, boy. How, you guys are going to laugh. I swear it's real. How conservatives use verbal jujitsu to turn liberals' language against them. What? Yes. What? Now, I know some of you smart people out there are like, Dana, God love them. That's what we were taught as rhetoric in school. Yes, yes. Apparently this cat did not take the classes that you took. So this piece at CNN, that's the headline. And it says, I mean, I feel like a 9-year-old wrote this. Republicans are masters of verbal jujitsu. It's a form of linguistic combat in which the practitioner takes a political phrase or concept popularized by their opponent and gradually turns it into an unusable slur. Like the Japanese martial art known as jujitsu, its devotees avoid taking opposing arguments head on and instead redirect their opponent's momentum to beat them. Oh my gosh. This is somebody who literally just graduated from a crappy college. John Blake. I really want to know who this cat is. Graduated? Or not. I mean, this is called, like, this is actual political rhetoric. This is rhetoric 101. They're acting like they just learned it and it's this superpower that the right has. Is this a is this a compliment? I don't know. Is it? Are they complimenting us? I'm not quite sure. So coming up, so the woke mob came for Queen. Yes, Queen. You heard that correctly. over fat-bottomed girls. As students begin heading back to school, do you think they'll be learning about the founding principles that made America the freest and most prosperous nation in history? Will they learn that our unalienable rights are God-given and not granted by government? Will they be given a full and honest account of our nation's history? The answer to all of these questions is yes for students at Hillsdale College. In addition to teaching college students, Hillsdale has extended its teaching to K-12 students and lifelong learners like you. If you're not doing so already, one of the best ways to start learning from the folks at Hillsdale is through Imprimis, Hillsdale's free digest of liberty. You can sign up for free at this special website for a limited time at dana4hillsdale.com. And you can look forward to Imprimis each month. It's interesting, useful, and free, and it's one of the best and smartest in conservative constitutionalist thought. Find out more about Hillsdale College and sign up for Imprimis at dana4hillsdale.com. That's dana4hillsdale.com.
And now, all of the news you would probably miss. It's time for Dana's Quick Five.
So the death toll in the Maui wildfires continues to climb. Just over the weekend, it was, 480? And I think it's risen even past that. They're not, you know, static figures by any stretch. Maui residents were saying that they are claiming that authorities are underplaying the fatality numbers. And that's something that so far, I don't think anyone in the government has responded to that, but that's what residents have been saying. But we'll continue to follow the, hopefully, gosh, they're just sad because every time you look at it, there's just another increase in the death toll. The Hurricane Hillary moves very near the Baja coast, packing deadly rainfall, hit California with, the thing is, though, is I don't really think that it brought as much damage as everyone was anticipating. Everybody I know in California was, in Southern California, was sharing pictures and video of just like some rain and mild flooding in the street. And it wasn't, I think it was a lot less damaging than they thought it was going to be, it seems like. Russia's first moon mission in decades failed after their spacecraft collided with the surface. This was Luna 25. Their first lunar mission in decades ended in failure. It was a huge blow to their space ambitions, and it happened after communication with the robotic spacecraft was interrupted. Well, you know, I mean, it's, you know, Russian. Let's see. A locally acquired case of malaria found in Maryland for the first time in 40 years. Ugh. And this, the local DMV, or a DMV, told this is kind of crazy. You know, the whole driverless vehicle fleet? They were told by the DMV crews, the company, to decrease it by 50%. Those are the ones that you're hearing about that are getting stuck in the wet concrete and causing traffic problems. All of this. Stay with us. Queen canceled? Every day we hear about another familiar brand undermining their customers and going, quote, woke. Americans are sick and tired of having far-left propaganda jammed into every product they consume. And for years, they've dumped millions into far-left causes, and everybody had to kind of take it because you needed a cell phone and probably thought that there was no alternative. Well, there is, and that's Patriot Mobile. Patriot Mobile is America's only Christian conservative wireless provider, offering dependable nationwide coverage on all three major networks, so you get the same coverage you've been accustomed to in your area, minus the far-left propaganda. And when you switch to Patriot Mobile, you're sending a message that you support free speech and religious freedom, the sanctity of life, Second Amendment, our military, veterans, and first responders. Visit patriotmobile.com/Dana or call 878-PATRIOT. Get free activation today using offer code Dana and ask about their coverage guarantee while you're there. Get the same dependable service and take a stand for your values. Make the switch today. patriotmobile.com/Dana or call 878-PATRIOT.
Has America just become an insurance company with a military? Fitch has officially downgraded America's global credit rating. What's our government's plan? Eliminate tax breaks for your pensions and 401ks and replace them with government retirement accounts. Check out the Watchdog on Wall Street podcast on Apple, Spotify, wherever you get your podcast.
YouTube, Facebook, or DirecTV. If you're looking for the number one afternoon host in the country, you've found her. Download the podcast every day to catch up. The Dana Show.
You know, when I first heard that Queen song, Fat Bottom Girls, I thought, man, I need to do squats. That's my first thought. I mean, is there any better song? Queen's one of my favorite bands of all time. I mean, this song is so much fun. This song, Steve, what would you say? This song is a banger, correct? Yeah, that works. See, I mean, he would. Have you ever played this as DJ Fun Uncle? That's not his DJ name. He hates it when we say that, but we can't help it. I mean, have you ever just like ripped this in a club and or anywhere where you've been like spinning and people enjoy it or no?
Definitely at weddings more than clubs, but yeah, it's a big wedding hit.
I mean, I would go back to that club if I heard this, or like AC/DC or something. I just would be like, "This, I'm coming back. This is great." I mean, it's such a fun song. Welcome back to the program. Dana Lash here with you. Bottom of this first hour. Listen coast to coast. Stream the program. Join the convo over at YouTube as well. Now, I'm going to get into some of the nuance of this. But so here's the headline. This, first off, I think this song came out the year I was born, if I'm correct with my estimation here. Fat Bottom Girls, right? It was off. I mean, it's one of their greatest hits. And this, it was written by Brian May and obviously Freddie Mercury, with who is just such a phenomenal, oh my gosh, phenomenal performer. Sidebar, you know that whole, what was it, Live Aid? That was like his last performance before his death. It was one of the greatest performances of all time. Of all time. I look at all of these pop stars today. None of them could touch, none of them. So I'm thinking about this, like, why? Because it sounds like he's been hit by cancel culture. Now, there's a caveat, perhaps, here, which we're going to touch on. But for now, apparently, they have this greatest hits collection that's out. And it is apparently not included on it, the greatest hits collection. Now, the caveat is what Lorraine has found. She said that it was pulled from the greatest hits on the children's audio platform. Can I be real? I don't know if I'd have pulled it off of that. But see, that's me. I'm that kind of parent. Like, my kids listen to all kinds of music. See, give the parents the ability to determine what is or is not age appropriate for their children. That's all we're asking. Now, some parents might say, yeah, Dana, you're nuts. I'm not letting my kid listen. Okay, that's fine. That's you. You do you. I'm not going to sit here and demand that it be included in the schools. I'm not going to do it. You know, yeah, I believe that you have that parental authority. But people are wondering, I mean, I just, because I'm thinking of just the irony of canceling a song from a band that was headed up by a gay dude. You know, I'm just, and by the way, he did his job. Can I just also add that as a sidebar? Freddie Mercury, he never made it about it. He did his job. Gay man still sing about fat bottom girls. Stop. He did his job. A rock star doing their job. You got to appreciate that. Their album Jazz, and it had this chick on a bike. Didn't they have to put britches on her at some point? Like, wasn't it considered scandalous? And they had to put britches on her. Or something like, yeah. So now they're saying that it was maybe specifically on the kids' version, but there's some other, I think we need some clarification on this. Some are saying that it was just from the actual greatest hits. Are they going to try to say it's fat shaming? Now, Kane, you brought up some really good points because you were saying, oh, but nobody has a problem with WAP. I'm not going to tell you what that, don't Google it. If you don't know what it is, don't Google it. Don't try to. Don't look at what it stands for. Don't. Or some of these other songs out there, right? I mean, just...
They're not canceled. I mean, they're also not on children's albums either. Not that I know.
Is this
of.
On a children's album? Can I just be real? Like, I mean, there's... What's the worst thing? Naughty Nanny? Is that, like, the worst lyric in there? I mean, he's, you know, he's very creative. It was May and Mercury that did the lyrics. It sounds like Brian May. Like, when you just read it as a sentence, you're like, oh my gosh.
For sure.
That's Brian May. But, yeah, I mean, it's, are you going to take me home tonight, down beside that red fire light? You're going to let it all hang out. Fat bottom girls who make the rock and world go around. Right. Yeah, it's just embracing the curves, man. Right. What? We're just saying. But if they came to cancel Queen, I think that is past the Rubicon. Actually, we passed that already. There's a new Rubicon, and that second Rubicon is when I riot. That's when I don't know what that looks like, having, you know, that I've never rioted before. I've never engaged in, I don't even know what that would entail. How would you riot, Kane, if you could, if one did, if you did?
I don't know. Play the song loud at every opportunity? I have no idea.
Yeah, would you like walk down like John Cusack and say anything?
Maybe in my car.
Yeah.
I'm not sure. And again, I don't even care enough, I think, to riot anything.
I do. This is about taste. At some point, you got to make a stand.
Yeah. I mean, if it's about freedom or something.
I mean,
then, yeah,
when you're going for Queen, it's gone too far. And that's when we must rise up. Dang it. We must rise up for the fat bottom girls. It has to happen. Who's with me? To the streets. Like I said, I don't even know what that, if we'd get out there in the street and be like, well, what do we do now? I don't know. So, but now if it's part of the children's album, I get, you know, I let my kids listen to literally all types of music. They grew up watching horror films. I wasn't the strict, I mean, I was more concerned with sexual content, I think, than language. But, and there was certain, like, you know, like The Exorcist. I never let them watch The Exorcist because that's messed up. There's certain, you know, there were limitations, yes. But then I also have friends who were like, if it's not on the Kids Bop album, then the kids aren't listening to it. And their kids grew up with horrible taste in music. I mean, as you might have guessed. So I just don't. I get it, the kids album thing, but then they're saying that this over Daily Mail, it's like, oh, well, no, it's from the Greatest Hits album. That's not a Greatest Hits album if it's omitted from this, is all I'll say. But see, the thing is that it's, I think almost at anything, somebody goes, wait till the woke discover Spinal Tap. Shh. Shh. Don't say it out loud. They will hear you. They will hear you.
I'll crank Queen to 11.
Yeah,
time to,
it goes, this is better, it goes one more, one louder.
And you know, Queen's song Bicycle had fat bottom girls in the lyrics as well.
I mean, okay, so Bicycle, that's a whole other thing.
Right.
And you didn't even know really what he was talking about. You were just like, he loves bipedal travel or bicycular travel. This is great. Yeah, sure, that's what it is. Go on with that. But I don't think that Freddie Mercury seemed like he would have been an anti-woke kind of dude, right? Yeah. I don't think that he would have abided by any of that. And then they would have immediately canceled him. Oh, you're not the right kind of gay guy. Canceled. See, that's the other thing. It doesn't matter anymore. Because I said earlier, as we started the segment, talking about how it looks like they were coming for fat bottom girls from Queen. It doesn't even matter if the band's fronted by a gay guy anymore. You're just privileged adjacent now. Not even the gays have special privilege. They don't have special privileges anymore. I mean, you got to cut your willy off in order to get the special privilege, right? And then you have to pretend to be a woman who likes dudes. And then that just is a whole bunch of other levels of confuse. So I'm just saying that not even that. It's just amazing how far it's gone. Yeah, the comments that I've seen from this, just wait until they hear the song WAP. Just wait until they hear this song, the title of which I can't even say on air. Wait until they hear this one. Wait until they, I know. I'm just saying, I am right there with you in all of it. In all of it. So I feel like I want to play that for the rest of the show. Just that track. Now I got a couple of other things to hit here. We were talking about some of the 2024 stuff. And we were also talking about CNN not understanding what political rhetoric is Joe on vacation still?
That is
I read this piece. Pull this up. He and Jill and Hunter, man, they got he is the third wheel. Joe, Jill, and Hunter. And by the way, you know, as it came out last week, that Hunter was staying at the White House at the exact same time the crack was found. Right? He was there at the White House. So that's a
coincidence.
Just that's a coincidence. I mean, it's just a. It's just a coincidence. I still maintain that Joe needs to be on crack. So they're staying at the Lake Tahoe home of Joe Biden's 2020 rival, Tom Steyer. It's on Glenbrook Bay, and it's an $18 million property, and it boasts a lakeside gazebo, manicured lawns, cozy fireplaces, and instant access to the sandy beach. So that's where they're staying. And this was right after he was on vacation for 14 days, and then right after he was on another vacation. He's been on vacation now for over a year. So he's there. They're going to, so I have something that's going to be unpopular. You're not going to like, I'm going to say it. I do not want a 2024 general election where I got two old ass people who are campaigning from the basement. You know what I'm talking about. Be honest about it, everybody. I'll say it. I'll be the friend at the get-together that says it, and then you can exhale and talk about it. Is Trump going to campaign from the basement? Because he used to make fun of people for not doing debates. I'm just saying. I get why he doesn't want to do a debate. And if I was in his campaign, I'd say, yeah, it's probably sound strategy. If I was a voter, I'd be like, wow, there's like a million things that have happened since you were in the White House. Kind of would like for you to weigh in on them. I get it. But, I mean, there was, well, what did he say? Do we have that? We have a little mashup. Listen, I'm just saying, this is what he said previously about not going to debates. Just listen.
He's too cowardly to even show up and debate.
I hear he's afraid to debate. Is that true? I hear he's afraid to debate. Now I understand he's canceling the debates. Let's see what happens. I think that's not going to be a good move for him. You want debates? So do I. I want debates. So.
You said you would like to have more than three debates with Joe Biden.
I said I'll have three and any amount they want.
Three debates is fine, or make it four. They're playing very cute. They're trying to get out. There's no question about that.
And I'll do any amount that they want. It doesn't make any difference to me.
So if Biden, so say he becomes a nominee and Biden doesn't want to debate, is it bad again to not debate? Like it was bad in 2020 if he didn't want to debate. Because there's, I don't know if I believe this Maggie Haberman story.
I think there's some nuance to this that I'll throw out there.
Well, this is why I bring this up. I don't know if I believe this or not. I know that I hate speculating. I didn't like doing it really with Biden, except you can see Biden's mental decline. I mean, I don't know if I see that with Trump. Because there have been these stories that have been going around. And Maggie Haberman, who, she says that the Trump camp has a leaker. Somebody's leaking stuff to her is what she's saying. I don't, like, again, I'm going to put it out here. If you're asking me if I believe it, I don't know if I believe it. She's saying that because they have a family history of like heart disease. Like, didn't he lose his brother in a heart attack and his dad and all this stuff? It's serious stuff. But they were saying that he has is dealing with like congestive heart disease, all of this, and that might be why he's like limiting rallies or something like that. Like I said, I don't know that I believe it, but Maggie Haberman, do I like her politically? No, but she's also not one of those on the left that is just going to run out there and say whatever, like somebody with Media Matters or Slate or CNN or MSNBC, etc., etc. So no, we're going to talk more about this because I don't want to get in a position where we got two old dudes campaigning from the basement. Just don't want it.
Catch The Dana Show noon to 3 p.m. Eastern on DirecTV Channel 347.
Like sands through the hourglass, so are the days of the United States.
Now I will yield to, who am I yielding to?
Distinguished guest, the President of the Republic of Korea.
Oh, my.
We needed the voice of God to tell us that.
Wow. I'm glad he knew that the voice of God, which is a term that you actually do use for the announcer that you don't see at a live event. But I'm glad that he still thought it was the voice of God and not like, actual God calling him home because he's at the end. Good heavens. You're sitting there. It's the South Korean president. How do you not, you forget that he's there? He's standing right next to him. How does he forget that he's right there? He's standing right next to him. President of the United States. Oh, that's not even there's also, oh, no. Wait, how bad was the earpiece one was pretty messed up. His earpiece fell out.
Yeah, as he was walking away.
Then there's also this. This is a short audio soundbite one. He doesn't like America being first as a principle. Listen.
His America First policy, walking away from the rest of the world, has made us weaker, not stronger.
Yeah, I don't understand that
now.
One either. Huh?
We are weaker now.
Yeah. Yeah, I agree. Yeah. So he gave this little presser in between his trip to the beach in Delaware and then to Lake Tahoe. Do you know how they just, as soon as he does these events, they whisk him away to a vacation? And it's becoming more and more obvious. Every single time he does an event, he has to go on vacation. You've seen that, right? Everybody's seen that every time. That's messed up. Because he's, I just don't think he's well. He is just not well, guys. I'm not trying to be mean. I think it's actually mean. I don't like the guy personally or politically because he's a mean-spirited dude. People that I know who are a lot older than us, and are in politics who knew him even back when he was a senator, they were like, he was one of the biggest jerks in the Senate. I've never met anyone, Democrat or Republican, who's ever, like some of the older folks, who've ever had anything nice to say about him. They're always like, he was one of the meanest people. So I don't like him, personally or politically. But it's still hard to see, because at some, do you honestly think he wants to do this? Do you think that his ambition exceeds his awareness of his own limitations? Well, that might be an obvious question. I don't know. He's got a crackhead in the White House with him. I mean, you know, who knows? There's a lot there. All right, so coming up in the second hour, 2024, what the candidates need to do, what Trump may do, and we're going to have a conversation, a deep dive on Vivek Ramaswamy. Just because I think we got to have to. And then I can't stop thinking about what my friend Kurt Schlichter has called Chris Christie. He called him the political Lizzo. I'm never going to be able to hear anything else describing him. So we're going to get into all of that. We also have some energy headline culture. The American Medical Association actually suggested that taxpayers fund uterine transplants for men who want to be women. Uh-oh. Not even joking you. So we'll talk about that coming up. Stay with us.
Well, Joe, look, if what he were saying were true, which is he's got this great record as president and that he's so far ahead, why wouldn't you come onto the stage and take a victory lap and just lap everybody else on the stage? And you're right. He does. You know, this is a guy who plays macho man at rallies. You know, only people our age, Joe, understand even what that song is, let alone what he thinks it means to him. Right. So, you know, all I could say is this. If he believes he should be the nominee, if he believes that he's got such a great record, if he believes he's the best person to go against Joe Biden, then show up on Wednesday night. And stop being such a coward.
Oh, boy. So as my friend Kurt Schlichter would say, that's political Lizzo, who is taking issue with a former president, saying that he's not going to any of the debates, not just this debate. He said any of the debates. Welcome back to the program. Top of the second hour. Dana Lash here with you. That I think that might change at some point, but he said he's not doing any of the debates. I don't know if that just means I guess that means the primaries. I don't know, but that's what he had said in his statement that he released over the weekend. And so Chris Christie's out there. Chris Christie's he's not going to the debate. You know why? Because he won't sign a loyalty pledge. Now, I think for the Republican Party, who is hosting this debate, it's not like it's a network that's hosting it. It's put on by the GOP. Like, sometimes you'll have debates, and I remember in 2016, I think some of the debates were not, they might be broadcast on different networks, but they weren't necessarily all just run by RNC. This one is, and so I understand why they're saying if you're going to participate in our debate, you have to sign a loyalty pledge. It's the RNC, it's their debate, and they partnered with Fox to do it, but it's there, they're running the whole thing. So yeah, you got to sign the pledge if you're going to participate in their debate. I get it. Chris Christie hasn't signed the pledge, though, so he's not going. So, who is he, the coward? Because I'm saying this because he's qualified. And he hasn't. I only have been in a room with him when it was, this was back in, Tea Party days. And I was basically with a group of Tea Partiers who was like, what's he doing here? Remember, he was like heralded as the next big conservative thing. And then, you know, this is what the right tends to do. And then they looked at his voting record and were like, oh, or looked at his record and some of the stuff he said. And people thought, oh, he is a little bit more moderate than we thought. But he seems like you'd get along with him. But him and Trump can't stand each other because they're very similar in attitude. I mean, he's from Jersey. Trump's New York. It makes sense, right? So I don't know that I would dislike him as a person. I don't dislike Trump at all as a person. I mean, I've gotten along with him for years, you know, wonderfully. I don't like the people he's got around him at all. Not all of them, but most of them. But because I know them, that's why. And I know their track record. And you know. But with Christie, I just think that he's kind of opening himself up for the same question to him by not signing this pledge and participating. So the debate, this is what's going to happen. you're going to have all these cats out there and they're all going to try to go for DeSantis. And then Pence is going to have his hand slapped the first time that DeSantis fires back. And then he's going to go hide in his hole. That's because that's Mike Pence. Mike Pence is the, and he is not, as a person, he seems very amiable. As a politician, he seems very milquetoast. And I think that people don't, this is not a time for milquetoast politicians. It really isn't. It's a time for politicians who can produce the deliverables, who can get it done. To that point, I wanted to play this because I read that Fox was going to have video cuts of Trump and have the candidates respond to it. And I'm just wondering how that will work, because I saw this circulating, and this is a flashback. This is from some years ago. It is DeSantis who is asked about Trump. And this was like right, I guess, he was in the House. And listen to this, because it sounds like he hasn't really changed on anything. Listen to this.
Well, here's the deal. We ran on a certain set of priorities for the American people. The president ran on it. And if you look so far, the cupboard has really been bare. Promised to repeal and replace Obamacare. Haven't seen that done. Said we were going to tackle spending and debt. Haven't seen that done. Said we were going to do things like welfare reform. Haven't seen that. Said we were going to reform taxes. Haven't seen that. Said we were going to drain the swamp. Haven't seen that. So we have all these promises that are unfulfilled, that I think moving on to something that's controversial, that a lot of Republicans didn't run on, I think that would be a mistake. I think we got to do what the American people sent us here to do, and that's got to be the first order of business.
So that was back in 2017. Oof. Now, see, that is going to be kind of hard, I think, for 45, because he would be pummeled by everybody. That would be hard for him to stand there on the stage and field all of that, because it wouldn't just be DeSantis. You would have Nikki Haley to an extent, because I think Nikki Haley's trying to play nice enough so that she keeps her options open for consideration for seats, for a cabinet seat or something. With Pence, it would just get torched. But it would make for a very, I think that makes it difficult for Trump, because not only that, the other thing I was thinking about is if Trump's on this debate stage too, you know that they would be asking him about Georgia. And I don't think there's a lot of things that he could say legally without compromising himself in court or creating a problem for himself in court. So that's another consideration. So, you know, I still think that you got to show up, especially with all this stuff. But at the same time, his campaign, they look at that as, oh my gosh, that is a trap. It's a trap. What are we going to do? Now, they're all going to come gunning for DeSantis, rhetorically speaking, because the left are morons. They're all going to be targeting him. And I think this is a two-man primary. One of the things that we've seen with Iowa is that no one has been able to come close to being number two. One of the other things that I'm kind of looking at, and I was looking at some of the polling, which I'm going to start doing more and more as we wade into 2024. But one of the things that, in looking at this as specifically as it relates to Iowa, Trump has 100%. I mean, he's, I think of anyone who has 100% name recognition, it's him. But he only has 43% so far of the vote in Iowa. Now, that can signal two things, because I think after we have to wait, really, ultimately, as we get further into Iowa, to see if he's peaked. But also that to me, I would think, is a little concerning. You're the former president. There's not been another Republican president. You have 100% name recognition. This is Iowa. This is not like New York, right? Or California, or Oregon. This is Iowa. And it's 43%. Now, the reason I have an eyebrow up and I'm kind of looking at this is I'm wondering how much of that is, because he's got his hardcore base. But there's something there. Because there's something there. And also some of the front runners in Iowa, they always say historically they never do well. That after Iowa, they never do well. I just don't think that you can compare this election to 2020 or even 2016. I think this is going to be even more different. But right now, it's not the national polling that is important. It's these early state, the polling in early state. That's what's important. And looking at, I'm interested in New Hampshire because Biden's doing very well in New Hampshire. Obviously, it's in his backyard. But his polling elsewhere, for instance, is very problematic. Like in Iowa, he's 44. And if he runs up against DeSantis in Iowa, I mean, that's within the margin of error. They're essentially tied in the aggregate of polling data. And that's problematic. So for Biden, it's still early, but there's some stuff to keep an eye on. But one thing that we do know for sure is that Trump's biggest, and this is important, especially if this is your guy if in the primary and you want him to win. He is on the struggle bus with independent and moderate voters. Moderate, like some who sometimes they'll vote Democrat, sometimes they'll vote Republican. Independents can be super conservative, but just not affiliated. You know, I am one of them. He struggles with the people who ultimately decide an election more than any other candidate. That is one of the things that has been consistently measured in every single poll going back even to midterms post 2016 and 2018. The issue that I see is that his campaign has not done anything to mitigate this issue and figure out how to shore up favorability or how to try to turn that around for that segment of the voting populace. And the reason that's so important is because it signals that he can't win a general. Now, you might be faced with a very difficult prospect. You have a guy who, you know, absolutely, he can win a primary. He might be able to win this primary. I mean, again, we're still early out. Who knows what happens? You would be surprised. But he would not, the way that things stand now, he wouldn't be able to win a general. That's one of the things that he struggled with in 2020 that a lot of people don't want to admit to. And in Texas, I actually went and I poured through county by county by county. I live in one of the most conservative counties in Texas, actually the most conservative county in Texas. The county in which I live is the county that Democrats have been trying to target for the last three election cycles. You remember the blueprint that I was telling you about that flipped Colorado from 62, 63 straight years of Republican administration and in two election cycles, they became a blue state. The same people who were behind that have been trying to flip Texas. And they start with the most conservative county because the theory is that if you can flip the most conservative part of the state, then the state is yours. So it has been an all-out battle in the county that I live in. Our school board fights, we've had millions of dollars in a school board, millions spent on messaging, battling, fighting back against, you know, these outstate carpetbagging Democrats who come in and they try to run all of the conservative parents who've lived here, you know, out on a rail. It's crazy. They had CNN and MSNBC here election night. Beto came here. Ted Cruz lost this county. Trump lost this county. And it was driven by independents and moderates. I broke out the data. In fact, about 2,000 of them. And these aren't 2,000 hard left independents or moderates. They're not hard left. They are just not into some of them. It's hard for him. It's hard for his campaign to win these people. And that's just this county. And there are other counties, not just here, but in other states where this was like that. In Georgia, they felt they hit the same thing in some of the most conservative counties, especially special election. His campaign hasn't done anything to remedy this. And that is what is scary. Because it means either they don't see it, they don't acknowledge it, they don't want to, or they don't take it seriously. And that hurt him in 2020. So you got to consider that as well. I don't know if that's going to come up in the debates. I don't know how it would, but if Trump's there, it will.
And now, all of the news you would probably miss. It's time for Dana's Quick Five.
All right, so first up here, the iPhone 15 is coming. Actually, mine's been really glitchy, my 14, so I'm you guys know the one gadgets are my weakness. gadgets and tech, like little techie things. That's my weakness. So they're it's expected to be launched in the beginning of September. Now here's where I'm getting mad. I'm already mad. It's going to have a new charging port. Now, is this good or bad? A generic charging port. It's a USB-C connector. It's going to replace the proprietary port. But I already have all their stupid stuff. So now you're telling me now after I got... Are you kidding me? So they said that's going to be one of the... So they're complying with EU regs that require them to have USB-C charging. So they're in September, blah, blah, blah. So they got to have a generic charging port. I'm going to punch these things. Now I'm mad. I was like excited about it, but that, because I went and got all that other stuff. Nobody wants to go to Burning Man anymore. So I cannot believe these tickets are this expensive. Hey, spend $575 and come be stinky in the desert with a bunch of druggies and drunks. Yay! Burning Man tickets flood the market for less than $575 face value after the nightmarish 2022 conditions and influx of influencers turned longtime attendees sour. I just, at some point, I guess, like way back when, I guess people thought it was cool, but I don't like festivals. I don't like theme parks. I don't like, you know, places where a bunch of people can demonstrate herd-like mentalities, right? And I'm just against it. And then people dress, I don't know. It just seems weird. The whole thing is weird. It's like they try to pretend to be the Mad Max. If that's your jam, then go on with it. But $575. Kane, I feel like we could like charge that and we could take them. There's this church that's building a new parking lot down the road, right? So it's like real dusty and dirty. Like same thing, like $575. You don't even have to go all the way to the desert out there, right? And you're right by a Kroger. So that works for you. AI-created art isn't copyrightable, says one judge in a ruling that I don't think is going to stay. I do not think that's going to stay because they're going to go down. What is it? Like if you use 15 seconds of a song as a sample over 15 seconds, then it's copyrighted. So I think they're going to use those sorts of measures. We have a lot more on the way. Stick with us.
To catch up on all the headlines and crazy wokery, download the Dana Show podcast and get Dana's perspective on The Dana Show.
Well, I'm still holding out hope that President Trump will come. I think it's so important that the American people hear from all the candidates. But there's a lot of candidates that have qualified. We're at 7 right now that have officially qualified with the small dollar donations, with the polling threshold and the pledge. And then we've got some that are on the cusp. So we're going to be looking at polls the next few days. There are 3 or 4 that are waiting for 1% and one more national poll to make that debate stage.
Yeah, so that could still change. That's Ronna Romney McDaniel, who's talking about the lay of the land with the debate that's coming up this Wednesday. So I'm going to be at the debate. We'll see how this goes. I'm just there. I'm going to be watching. I've covered debates before when I was the token conservative at CNN, and they're always very interesting. The energy, because everybody arrives with their posse, right? It's all very, and everybody's very, you know, every campaign is segregated from another. It's very interesting. Welcome back to the show. Bottom of the second hour, Dana Lash with you. Honestly, I think if I were advising someone and they weren't going to go and then they thought they could go, I legit would like pull a late arrival, but with like Guns N' Roses, Welcome to the Jungle entrance. And I would walk down the aisle like it was a WWE event. I'm not even joking you, because it's all absurd. Everything's ridiculous. Yes. I'm all for voters having the exchange of ideas. But at the same time, strategically, I'm thinking, how would I just take total control of the event? And it would be something like that. Although I don't think that they would allow it. But I'd still do something. We'll see. I don't know. It could be he may show up. Trump may show up. Christie may show up. Then it's a battle of the East Coast, and they'll go at each other, and they'll make each other look horrible. And the voters won't respond well to it. And then that makes everybody else look better. So, I mean, there's so many downsides and potential pitfalls here. I don't know. Now, can we talk about this Vivek stuff? Because we were saying earlier that I can't believe all the ridiculousness that I think it's just some of the most hardcore folks on the Trump side who think that when DeSantis was saying that you just cannot be, we cannot be listless vessels. And we played the whole soundbite and we talked about it. And that's what he was saying is not, it wasn't anything bad. But he was making the point too that you can't focus so much on personality that you forget like the whole reason why we're doing this, right? Like how some people are saying Chip Roy's a rhino, which I think if anyone thinks that Chip Roy's a rhino, I don't care who they are, I will tell them to their face that they need to go touch grass because they've been online for too damn long. Especially when people are elevating someone like Elise Stefanik. Nothing personal against her. This is politics. It don't have to be personal. She has a super liberal voting record. She has one of the most liberal voting records of any member of Congress, a Republican. Super liberal Republican. And yet she's going to be considered a super conservative, strictly judged solely on who she endorsed for 24 and not the guy who's like shown up and been in the ditch the whole time for limited government, who actually has the voting record that people profess to want, but then say that they don't if he doesn't endorse the proper way in 24. That's what I don't like. One endorsement in one presidential race doesn't invalidate an entire lifetime of fighting for conservative issues. And nobody gets to be the bouncer of that, by the way. None of these people out there who ain't been doing any of the heavy lifting this entire time, they don't get to be bouncers of this stuff. Now, here's the thing with, I think, there's all these, I've noticed a couple of pieces. I don't know if they're coming from the DeSantis camp or not. One of them makes me think they are because I saw it come out on Right Scoop and they're very DeSantis friendly. But some of them are not. One of them is, there's a piece that said, oh, Vivek wants to be famous. I get that. I don't know what that has to do with the primary politics. Maybe it's a way to say that he's not serious, but I don't think that you had to have a story on that to show you that. But there are a lot of other things that I think are way more troubling about him than, oh, he wants to be famous or he was trying to do this, you know, podcast thing before all of this happened. I think that everything, like I said, the only other politician that I've seen hold two opposing positions on so many issues was Mitt Romney in 2012. I literally had a pair of flip-flops that said Mitt on one and Romney on the other, and I wore them. I wore them at one of the primary. His campaign really didn't like me. I wore them at one of the primary debates in 2012. I literally did. Like, before I put my heels on backstage by craft service, I was having, like, a little soda and some crackers and just looking over notes, and I was wearing my Mitt Romney flip-flops. Oh, yeah. His campaign saw. They were not happy. But, you know, it was true. He held a million different opposing, like on a million different issues, he held both positions. That's literally what Vivek Ramaswamy does. Like, remember the Juneteenth, he blasted Juneteenth, and then he, 2 weeks after, he had a video celebrating it. And then he's gone back and forth on the decriminalization of hard drugs. And then there's something that came up, some 9/11 trutherism that came up today. And then, I mean, not to even get in any of the, what is it? The stuff with the database, the big pharma stuff. I mean, that's by itself, that's super troubling. I mean, what is it? The ROI, the pharma company, Roivant, that stands for return on investment. That's the whole thing it means. He was making money off of some Alzheimer's drug that didn't pass trial. And then that had a subsidiary called Datavant. And they started working on creating this digital infrastructure to track health records. And it was specifically focusing on COVID-19. So Datavant, which was his company, this was in early 2020, they were literally profiting from biomedical surveillance. That's his company. He made money literally off of biomedical surveillance over COVID. So how in the world are you going to rage against that when you were making bank on it? You see what I'm saying here? Now, he didn't step down until like later in 2021, and that, Roivant. But he didn't step down until what, February of this year? Because he knew that he wanted to go in the primary, and he knew that there were going to be problems with this. Now, Datavant is a subsidiary of Roivant, and he stepped down in February, but Datavant's work was already concluded at that point. So I just think that he was literally working to create a universal database to surveil everybody who had been tested for COVID, positive for COVID, all of this stuff. He was working, he literally was creating that. And now he's going to come out and then bash it. Do you see what I'm saying? And then there are people out there who allege, oh, well, you're just attacking him. No, we're actually, this is what is called vetting a candidate. And if people want to conflate vetting with quote unquote attacking, you're too damn weak for this. Get out, because you're too fragile for this. Disagreement is not an attack. Justifiable criticism is not an attack. Vetting a candidate is not a quote unquote attack. I cannot stand when that word is used to make someone look like the victim in the face of legitimate criticism. It's a refuge for weakness. I hate that. So I'm just curious, is that going to come up in this? Is that going to come up in the debate? Here's the thing. Every candidate is imperfect, but this dude has received so many passes from the very people who claim to hate all the stuff that he has done. Having DEI and CRT, like departments within the companies you created, and then, oh, quickly, let's write a book on it. I'm going to capitalize on this cultural movement because I'm positioning myself for a primary run. I mean, working with Soros entities. I mean, you realize that, what is it, the Martin Shkreli, is that how you say his name? He actually said that the Roivant, Ramaswamy's business, he said it, quote, supersized his business model. A big pharma bro. I'm just saying. This is a really, this is a serious thing to discuss. And I don't know why it is that this guy gets such a pass. I think he's a stalking horse for Trump. He might be a nice guy. He's been on the show, but I haven't met him. Because I can tell when someone is being genuine and when someone is being like what they, a character or a role that they think that needs to be filled. But I do think that he is that. And I think that he is in this as a kind of a surrogate for Trump who doesn't want to be in the debate. It's campaign strategy. I'm just telling you what it is. But I think asking him, you know, Vivek Ramaswamy's company, he was trying to sell having governments adopt his universal COVID patient database as part of their surveillance efforts. What part of America First is that? Anybody answer? I'm not making this up. This is all public record. Are we not supposed to ask about it? Is acknowledging what someone actually did, is that quote unquote an attack? You don't have time for that, neither do I. I'm just curious. These are legitimate questions to ask. I mean, what about how he paid Wikipedia people? Because you almost have to have people set there. He was trying to erase his fellowship with the Soros organization. I mean, that's a legitimate thing, right? To ask about that, especially since that's something that has been thrown around quite a bit. He did not want his primary to be damaged. He was scrubbing his social presence and doing a lot of stuff to get ready for this. He got the Paul and Daisy Soros Fellowship. He was involved, apparently, with that organization. And then they worked to get it scrubbed off of his Wikipedia page and off of social media. I just think people need to be who they are. This is who this guy is. And why is he trying to run opposite of that and act like this? He hasn't done any of this stuff. I hope this all comes up in the debate. I really do. Because I think it's about time. It needs to, you need to discuss this. But I just want to know which Vivek is going to show up to the debate. Is it going to be the guy who hates Juneteenth or the guy who likes Juneteenth? Is it going to be the guy who doesn't like big government pharma and big pharma? Or is it going to be the guy who tried to sell literally a COVID biomedical surveillance database to the government to use to monitor all of us? Which one is going to show up to the debate? Is it going to be the guy who wants to totally decriminalize all hard drugs, or the guys who thinks that there should be some limitations in place? Like, which is it? Who's going to show up? We don't know anything really about this guy. Or what about the guy who totally blamed in his book and went off on Trump and totally solely blaming him for J6? Or is the Vivek who said, no, he's not responsible for that at all? Is he going to show up? Which one of those cats are going to show up? I'm curious. The guy who adores Mike Pence or the guy who's critical of Mike Pence? I mean, I can go on and on here because there's a lot. That's the thing. And I'm telling you what you don't take care of in a primary, general media will. What about all the DEI initiatives that he had in his own companies? The guy who wrote the anti-woke book, is that guy going to show up, or is the guy who had all the DEI departments in his Rovient and Datavant businesses going to show up? I got a lot of questions. Which one is going to show up? I don't mind people changing their positions, but when you do a 180 with zero indication of how you arrived at your new position, people have every right, particularly if you're in politics, they have every right to question the sincerity of your transformation.
It's his life mission to make bad decisions. It's time for Florida Man.
Okay, so I need to know what's going on in Tampa Bay. Did you see this headline, Kane? Five people in Tampa Bay were killed by flesh-eating bacteria as officials warn locals to not enter the sea with cuts or grazes on their skin. Yeah, there have been 26 reported infections of Vibrio vulnificus. I actually think I said that right. In Florida. What was that? Vibrio vulnificus?
Yeah.
It's 26 so far this year. It's known to lurk in brackish seawater as it requires salt to live. Around 1 in 5 can die within a day or two of becoming ill when they catch it. 2 people in Hillsborough County and 1 each in Pasco, Polk, and Sarasota. So don't go near no water that looks like it's still and brackish. You know what that means? If it looks like it's still and mosquito-y, don't go in that water. Stay away from it. I'll be damned. You got gators and now you got flesh-eating bacteria. It's just the Australia of the United States. I'm telling you what. So just be careful. And they say it's severe for people who have weakened immune systems. Like the regular beach, I think, is fine. But going in some of those areas, you know, where it's just still and quiet, just a little, you know. Let's see. A Florida woman was arrested. She spiked a dude's drink with Raid. It didn't kill him on contact as advertised. Then he's not a cockroach, that's for sure. Apparently it was his girlfriend and the mother of his child that did it. He had 2 drinks and started feeling sick. She spiked both of them with roach, the roach spray. It took him an hour to collect himself and call police. So she has prior convictions apparently. Two for weapons, and her prior weapon of choice was a knife. By the way, she was running from police, and they have body camera of chasing her with a canine. That's interesting. A Florida man was arrested for $20 million worth of non-existent N95 masks. The other question is that there was $20 million spent on it. A Rockledge man was arrested for allegedly offering to fraudulently sell a Canadian healthcare company more than 20 million N95s at the height of the pandemic. 79-year-old Esmeraldo Enrique was arrested on 1 count of organized fraud. It was a $20 million deal. He was doing business as Enrique Technologies and Trading LLC when he entered the deal. And so he actually had money wired to him. It's another, he was booked in Brevard County Jail on $10,000 bond. Masks, bacteria, and Raid. Oh, my. Stick with us. Third hour next.
Our footprint is extraordinary there. We are there now, and we will be there tomorrow, and we will be there throughout the long-term recovery. I think that is the most important message, and we are following the president's immediate direction to us. As soon as the fires broke out, he directed FEMA, the Federal Emergency Management Administration, part of the Department of Homeland Security, to respond in full force immediately, and that is indeed what we have done.
Who directed them? Because we all know, we all agree, it's not Biden, right?
Yep.
Biden didn't direct them. Do we all agree on this?
Yep.
Pretty safe to say. Welcome back. Dana Lash here with you, top of this third hour. You can listen coast to coast. You can stream the radio program. Find us, find the simulcast on DirecTV, YouTube, and Facebook, too. Good discussion at YouTube. Check that out. We also have our newsletter over at Substack, Chapter and Verse. Go and sign up, because I have a piece that's going to be coming out later today that you're going to want. Just telling you. So, just telling you. You're going to want this one, especially ahead of the debates. Okay, so So apparently nearly 1,000 people are still missing. 2 weeks on now from these deadly wildfires. Over 1,000 people. They're looking at increased fatalities. And here you have Mayorkas saying that, well, it's, you know, the president has responded. Did he, though? Because he just said kind of one thing as an aside and then no comment twice, and he's gone on two vacations. That's all we've heard from him. And in fact, I just saw a photo, if I can find it. I think he's he's on Lake Tahoe. He's staying at Tom Sire's house. And he is on the shores of the lake there, living the good life, just relaxing, you know, because he needs another vacation. He's spent over a year now of his presidency on vacation, which seems excessive. We were just talking about that, right? We're sitting here talking about Labor Day because, you know, Labor Day, everybody on air takes off Labor Day. And we're sitting here talking about Labor Day. And I'm like, I always flip out. I always get nervous. Like whenever I'm out, whenever I'm not on air, unless it's Christmas or the 1 week for Christmas or the 1 week for summer, it's always either for kids or actually another work thing. That's the only time I'd never, ever take off for like another it's not really a vacation. I'm still actually working or it's a kid thing. This dude, and I feel horrible whenever I hate not working because I get so fidgety and annoying when I'm not working. I aggravate everybody because I'll come up with work. And, everybody hates it. But he's off for a year. I don't get anxiety, but is that what this is? I feel like I need to rub my hands together talking about him not working for a year and he's president of the United States. That actually makes my type A little mind want to explode. Oh my gosh, how can you not? How can you not? There's so many things to do. How do you live? How do you not work for a year? You're president of the United States. My voice is going up higher. I'm turning into the female Charlie Day. What's happening? You have things to do, right? I understand delegating, but damn, this is like delegating to the extreme. Kane, say just out loud what you said.
And his presidency is only just over 2.5 years old. So he spent
over a year
on vacation. And it's only a little over 2.5 years as president.
Somebody actually made a counter. Sorry, I'm pulling this up. I didn't even think I was going to pull it up. I just saved it because I thought it was neat. I think it's like, 368 days?
I thought it was in 370.
Oh, I think you're probably right then. Because mine was from last week, and I haven't, that was before he's been on.
And by the way, we're still counting.
Yeah. Yeah, that's true. Woo boy. And in the meantime, Maui's just, this is ridiculous. I think they keep saying that, it's climate change and climate disasters to excuse the fact that they don't actually do work. I mean, you've had for 2 weeks. This has been one of the most, the more I read about this, the more disastrous it is. So you got the guy who basically is being blamed for the bureaucratic BS that is about protecting the quote unquote equity, water equity. And then how it took 9 hours for them to get permission to use water from a different reservoir after the other one ran out. 9 hours for paperwork and approval because they are absolute. They worship the process. Not only is it a human tragedy of catastrophic proportions, but this is a tragedy of a government that was paid to serve people and didn't. Because, and I'm not making this about Democrat or Republican, you have people who basically turned Hawaii into like a socialist state with the high taxes, the politicians, you know, the high taxes, the bureaucracy, the, you know, everything. I mean, they were really hardcore during lockdown. And yet all these people who've paid their very high taxes, they've paid into the system, they've done all the stuff that they were supposed to do, and then now this unimaginable thing happens to them, and it's being said happened because you had the government regulated Hawaiian Electric that apparently, according to a lot of people there and doing the investigating, they did not listen to warnings and so apparently were culpable in the creation of this wildfire. And all these people are just devastated from it. And it, I feel like I'm watching like an episode of Pawn Stars when they're standing at the counter like, well, the best I can do is $700. That's what it feels like. Right? We've lost everything. You're giving Ukraine billions. Yeah, the best I can do is $700. FEMA Administrator Deanne Criswell said she was asked whether or not she could give a sense of how the president believes the Maui response has been. And the FEMA admin said he's satisfied with our response. Really? I mean, it looks like a disaster. Thousands of people still missing. They didn't sound the sirens. And everybody knows, apparently, that these are sirens that just aren't for tsunamis. They're also for wildfires and other natural disasters. So the excuse of, well, those are just for tsunamis, and we thought that Hawaiians would be so stupid they'd run into the fire. That's a lie, apparently, because the siren system was more for just than tsunamis. The water that they could have used to put out the flames, that was, as I was just telling you, super highly restricted. I mean, it goes on and on and on. They kept the power lines, even in these super hurricane force winds. They kept everything going. I mean, there were so many different failures, so many different periods at which they could have acted to prevent this. It's insane. I think the fatalities are probably over 1,000. And Lahaina was said to have a population of less than 13,000. So if you're going on those numbers, you're looking at almost 10% of their residential population killed in this, or who will never, and the bodies will probably never be found. And it seems like authorities there are stonewalling entirely because there's tons of children missing. The mayor of Lahaina was asked how many children are missing. He couldn't answer. A lot of them, they said, that are missing are kids and elderly. The schools were apparently closed because of the high winds. And because there was no warning system, the elderly were probably at home. I think it is soulless, criminal, and morally reprehensible to say that this is, quote unquote, climate change. When you have dry seasons the same time every year. You had the freak combination of hurricane force winds, this, the electric company not listening to warnings. Remember, we were telling you last week about the reports that they came out with saying this is prime for a wildfire. You know, you have to implement these measures in order to prevent this from happening. And that apparently included stopping or turning off the power for those lines that apparently were the sparks that did it. It had nothing to do with climate change. Audio soundbite 21. Mayorkas is still running with it, though. Listen to this.
Oops. I think it is one of the most prominent threats that we face. You know, I was with the president in Mayfield, Kentucky, a number of months ago when a tornado devastated that community. I was in Mississippi when I saw another community devastated by a tornado of unprecedented speed and strength and resulting devastation. The frequency and gravity of extreme weather events in the United States and around the world is one of the greatest challenges that the globe currently encounters.
It has nothing to do with that at all. It has to do with the, like I said, the human tragedy of people not listening. Like the Hawaiian official, let me pull this up. We talked about this. This is the, can you imagine you have fast spreading wildfire? So from, what was it, like 6 a.m. to 9 p.m., they were waiting for this okay to access more water. They were begging. the fire was raging. Oh, it has to be predicated on conversations about equity. The official who's under fire for delaying all this, the guy who slow walked it, that was one of his big things, was water accesses. That's, you know, it's equity. One time he had given a speech where he said, let water connect us and not divide us. But it does require, we can share it, but it requires true conversations about equity. So does he look at the devastation and think that his demands on equity was met? By the way, did you know that he was transferred to another position just Wednesday of last week? After the wildfires within the Department of Land and Natural Resources, he was moved to a different position. And this was the West Maui Land Company were the ones that had told on him. They said his commission refused to request the permission, or they refused its request for permission to divert streams to fill landowners' reservoirs to stop the wildfires from spreading out of control. I mean, this has nothing to do with climate change. There's no CO2 in any of that. None. The media will not make this Biden's Katrina. They will not. They are protecting him from it as much as possible. I also know that I haven't seen any celebrities doing any kind of fundraisers for it either. Have you? Mick Fleetwood, he's got a place out there. He's been doing a lot of stuff. He lives out there, though. But I haven't seen, compare this to the media reaction in the wake of Katrina. The problem in not acknowledging the correct causes of tragedies like this is that you are absolutely guaranteeing that they will happen again because you refuse to acknowledge what started them, and you refuse to fix it. Do you think, if they can't acknowledge that it's this all of this politically correct nonsense that slow walked all this stuff and allow these wildfires that were created by this electric company, according to everybody there, who didn't turn off the power to these lines that were in the prime spot that researchers said 4 years ago for a wildfire. And then you have the hurricane force winds, dry season, etc. If they can't acknowledge that these things all played a part in this horrible tapestry of kickstarting this thing, how are they going to be able to remedy it? If they don't see that this contributed, how are they going to remedy it and prevent it from happening in the future? They keep saying climate change. Climate change is the veneer behind which incompetency thrives. Climate change is the excuse given for elected officials who don't do anything. Oh, we can't explain the fact that it was our bad forest management and land management that started the fires in Canada. So instead of indicting ourselves, we'll blame the boogeyman of climate change. Oh my gosh, we can't sit here and talk about, you know, that it's just regular hurricane season and perhaps our areas weren't entirely fortified or prepared because of maybe of government incompetency or corruption. But instead of indicting ourselves on that, we'll blame it on the boogeyman of climate change. Over and over again, we see this. It's their excuse.
And now, all of the news you would probably miss. It's time for Dana's Quick Five.
Oh, they're trying to push this with climate. They're saying that there's a crisis in the olive oil industry, scorching temperatures in Europe, devastating wildfires elsewhere. They said that production in Spain plunged by 620,000 metric tons. I don't think it's necessarily, they're trying to act like it's the hottest summer ever. Every now and then you have some summers that are hotter than others. I will say, and this might be anecdotal, when we were in Italy, we were talking to a guy who had a place in Florence, and he had everything was from his farm to his restaurant, the prosciutto, everything was amazing, including his olive oil. And he was saying that so much of it was hype, that every now and then there are super hot summers and there are mild summers, and that you just learn how to ride that wave. But that's not how the media definitely does not want to make it out to be like that at all. They're selling off parts of the border wall to stop Texas from using it. That's actually what the Biden administration is doing. He's very quietly selling off big chunks of it. Millions of dollars of unused parts of the border wall to try to in-run the pending legislation in Congress and keep Texas from actually using it. People are saying that their watermelons are exploding. Gallagher has passed away, so that's not him. They're saying that the watermelons are exploding, a string of incidents, so people are on watch. They say that it's, you know, because it has like white foam that comes in it as well, which is weird. But they said that it rumbles on the inside. There haven't been any heat sources, but they think it was just like a bacteria or something that's a pestilence. Stick with us, Stephen Yates, next.
Between Twitter, Facebook, or any of your social media, there's a lot of information out there. That's why your lovable curmudgeon is here to help you make sense of it all. Live or on demand, The Dana Show.
Welcome back to the program. Dana Lash here with you. Bottom of this third hour, and you can listen coast to coast terrestrially. You can also stream the radio program and catch the simulcast on DirecTV, YouTube, Facebook, everywhere. All right, so a number of things. I noticed this first up. Our old non-pal, Xi Jinping, he's making another little trip. Now, I'm always very interested whenever they have any kind of conversations with South Africa. Now, he's left today for another trip to South Africa. Huh. Interesting. I wonder why. Let's talk to our very good friend, Stephen Yates, who you all know very well, senior fellow at America First Policy Institute and chair of the China Policy Initiative. All right, Steve. So he's, from what I was reading, this is like one of the first, it's like with the BRICS group, it's Brazil, Russia, India, China, and South Africa. They're all meeting. This is like one of the first meetings that they've had since the COVID lockdown. It's a three-day trip. And it seems, especially with some of these other governments in South Africa that are a little bit more authoritarian in nature, it seems like there might be a more receptive audience for Xi Jinping and China. It seems like this is also kind of related to like a little Belt and Road initiative. What is the purpose of his trip today?
Well, it is conspicuous because Xi Jinping has not taken the opportunity to leave China very often.
Right.
And in fact, his country is a little bit on fire right now. So it's a little bit risky to leave the country lest they lock the door behind you while you're abroad. But going to South Africa very much is a play at this alternative world order, trying to get more countries to join this so-called BRICS initiative. Now, the offer is that we won't bark at you about human rights, but we might exploit your people and take your capital away just a little bit. But, you know, no complaints there. In fact, there's really no force on the planet that is exploiting African resources and people right now more than is the People's Republic of China. So definitely welcome Xi to South Africa to talk that up. But really, it's bloviating in some ways. It's political theater. I think that this BRICS initiative using a currency other than the U.S. dollar as a reserve, these are things that we shouldn't just brush off as a joke. But really, they're not serious if we're serious. And that's the real problem. We're not serious right now. So it's interesting that he's leaving. His property market is having a bubble burst. He's got a demographic problem. He's got all kinds of security problems at home. So why not take a trip? Kind of the opposite of our president. When all's going badly, he takes a vacation. She just goes to South Africa.
Yeah, that's a very good point. Talking with our friend Stephen Yates, you can find him on Twitter at YatesComms. Because the last time that he left was in March to visit, his words, his dear friend, Vladimir Putin. That's kind of a terrifying sentence. So he hasn't, as you said, he hasn't really, because they have their shrinking population. Their economy is not doing great. It's like he's trying to get, it seems like he's also trying to get, oh, here's some good press about me. Look at the stuff I'm doing for the folks at home.
Yeah, it shows how well received he is when he goes out around the world. Whether he's stoking nationalism at home with weird propaganda fire drills about Taiwan, or whether it's his wolf warriors barking about America as if we're picking a fight with them. If only, I mean, I'd have loved to have picked a fight with these guys for the last 30 years, but it's really mostly been kid gloves. It's a little bit of a joke, but it's not a joke because right now the U.S. is the joke mm-hmm. around the world, courtesy of weakness from the Afghanistan withdrawal forward.
And he touched on that in this was from one of their mouthpieces that he wasn't trying to outcompete America in the existing liberal international order, but to really change the world order into one that's more, you know, focused for Southeast Asia. And it makes sense for China to engage with the global South, and saying that there's been this absence of the traditional global governance system, which is out of order and incapacitated. And according to their ambassador to South Africa, Chen Xiaodong, was saying that, oh, the international community is eagerly looking forward to, you know, BRICS playing the leading role here.
Absolutely. Making the world safe for concentration camps and low quality medical goods going out to poison you when you were sick, and unfair trade that takes your capital to make their elites rich in the name of egalitarianism. It's all awesome. I'm sure the world can't wait for this carnival popcorn to come to their town.
Yeah. And in the meantime, I mean, what is our administration, you know, actually doing to kind of offset some of this? I had a piece where they were they're looking to sign some kind of understanding with Vietnam. This was actually Politico signed a strategic partnership deal with Vietnam in the latest bid to counter China in that particular region. It opens the door to closer diplomat. I mean, this just so it's a piece of paper that says we're going to talk more.
Yeah, well, we've got a little bit going on with Vietnam. We have a little bit going on with Japan and Korea, all of which is at the urging of the Asian partner. It's not as if the Biden administration woke up with a brilliant idea and pulled reluctant partners to the table. It's that these players in Asia, Japan, Korea, Vietnam, you could add Taiwan and others to the list, are begging for, hey, can we do something together? Because the U.S. has gone bonkers while the world is on fire. They're praying to the sun god in the name of climate change when we know it's commie ships and bullets that are coming for us and technology coming to degrade our economy. And there's nothing about climate change that's going to fix that.
Do you think that the summit that they had with the Japanese prime minister and the South Korean president just over the weekend, do you think that that went well? I feel like he just looked confused. Biden looked confused in all of everything that I saw. It didn't give me high hopes for, you know, him acting with more clarity behind doors.
Well, a rational person should find nothing really positive to come out of it other than, yeah, these two foreign powers that are concerned about China decided to come and make a symbolic move here in the United States. I'm not against summitry. I'm just against believing summitry is the same thing as action.
Yeah.
And I don't think that China is actually deterred by summitry. I think they're perfectly fine having people wine and dine and walk in the woods at Camp David and have a president walk away forgetting to turn off his earpiece and forgetting to shake their hand, and walking down the wrong trail, whatever. They're just happy to be there. So
bad. Now,
did that deter China? I really doubt it. I mean, as bad as Xi Jinping is, he knows how to actually get on the stage and shake the right hand and engage in the theater. He's evil, but he at least knows what he's doing on the performance art.
Oh, goodness. Now, we talked last week about the Taiwan leadership, that the vice president, the stopover, you know, because you can't say it's a visit. It was a stopover on his way to Paraguay. And so now, like clockwork, the Chinese military launched drills around Taiwan. It was that's what they do every single time. Well, he went somewhere, or there, it looks like it could have been a visit. We're going to have military drill. Let's have another drill. They did something we don't like. Let's have another drill. I mean, it really, I mean, it's, do people take it seriously? Do you think, I mean, they see this and it doesn't seem like it's an increase in aggression. It just is like more of the same from them.
I think the people of Taiwan are largely numb to it, and people can criticize them for that, but they've been living with this threat
for decades,
for a long time. And if they worry themselves about it, worry isn't the same as action either, and it doesn't get the United States to sell them what they need. It doesn't get Japan to do more that would help. And so there's no amount of worry or protestation that they could do to make a difference, so they live with it. Does it move the Chinese people? I mean, these are some of the most propagandized and manipulated and controlled people on the planet. Does one more propaganda exercise move them? Probably not. The kind of comical part of it, and our people, our leaders, so-called in entertainment and otherwise, do nothing to make a cartoon out of the mocking, the silliness of, oh, we're engaging in this drill because we're going to deter Taiwan. Deter Taiwan from what? Being? Taiwan didn't do anything. They didn't have a military exercise. They didn't launch an attack. They didn't even threaten an attack. What exactly are you deterring? And we have in the West this deep well of creativity that can't do anything like the Babylon Bee back at China for being so remarkably stupid.
Let me ask you this, talking to our friend Stephen Yates. We got the debate coming up, the GOP primary debate this Wednesday. And I'm not quite sure yet how much of a focus will be on any kind of foreign policy or with China at all. I mean, nobody has a heads up about anything yet. But obviously, you know, China and Taiwan are watching. So this is kind of like a two-part question. How long is Taiwan, in your estimation, content with this vague recognition but not recognition of its sovereignty by the United States? And if we do end up having a Republican administration in 2024, how do you China's behavior, which has been more aggressive lately, is that going to cease, or what will their reaction be?
Well, it's a little bit of a Yogi Berra-like answer. Nothing changes until something changes. And so if we don't have a new policy and we don't have new actions, why would behavior in Taiwan change? Why would behavior in China change? They've lived, both sides, with this game, this charade, for a long time. They've each in their own way tried to seek advantage. I would argue that Beijing's gotten the greater advantage over the years. But until we show that we're serious, and our allies would likely bandwagon with us if we did, if we spoke the truth, recognized reality, I think there would be a bandwagon effect. And that would increase deterrence against China. But if I'm Taiwan, why would I stick my neck out to get smacked like a whack-a-mole unless I have some assurance that Uncle Sam is going to at least let me be me? That's even short of saying, well, Uncle Sam, come and save my bacon. It's just let me be me. And this is the only democracy on the planet that we say, nope, we got to play a word game. Yeah. We're too busy playing a charade, hoping that a blood dripping fanged commie doesn't come eat you. But we're going to keep playing this game.
I like that. The blood dripping fanged commie. That's a Halloween costume. We need to make a note of that for sure. Stephen Yates, well, we're going to see what happens with the debate, because I hope that issue comes up, because as much as we talk about Russia and Ukraine, I mean, you and I mean, we've established this. I mean, our agreement is that China is the absolute biggest, you know, threat that's on the planet. I'm very curious to see if that's covered at all in any kind of question in this debate. It seems like it should be one of the first things out of the moderator's mouth, but we'll see.
I think the voters are there. The questions should be there, too.
Exactly. That's a good point. Stephen Yates at Yates Comms. Always so good to talk with you. Thank you for your perspective. As always, my friend, we're grateful.
Thank you, Dana. Take care.
Of course. You too.
Catch The Dana Show noon to 3 p.m. Eastern on DirecTV Channel 347.
What do you make of that? That Joe Biden seems to not have this groundswell of support right now. Do you think it's all age?
No, I think it's our system. I think Donald Trump and the Republican Party have poisoned it to people. No one trusts our institutions. No one trusts Congress. No one trusts any of us because all they do is attack our families, do those types of things.
This is one of the dumbest people I've ever heard. Minnesota Democrat Governor Tim Walz, he said, well, Biden's lack of support is because those Republicans have poisoned the system. They've just poisoned everything. All they do is attack our families. Wait, I'm sorry. What, your party and you want to talk about politicization and attacking families? Tell me a little bit more about DOJ and FBI working together under the Patriot Act to classify parents who spoke out at school boards as domestic terrorists. What? Let's have that one. Come again? This guy. Jeez. If you look up Blowhard in the dictionary, it's that. He's your favorite, isn't he? You like you some Tim Walz, don't you, Kane? He just wanted... He's precious. P-R-E-S-H-U-S. Precious. It's because Republicans have poisoned the whole system. Them damn Republicans. They have poisoned everything.
How do they keep getting away with the whole Republicans pounce thing? Like, we can't just report on what Democrats are doing crappily.
Well, don't forget, Kane, the CNN piece. It's our linguistic jujitsu.
Oh, is that it?
Our linguistic jujitsu, yes. You know, what some people might call just, you know, basic rhetoric. No, some cat who apparently just was born yesterday and thinks that history began at the same time. He thinks that's just, it's not, you know, basic rhetoric that everyone employs. It's I guess it's a compliment. He's saying that we're all real smart and we weaponize the language with our jujitsu.
But I literally can't point to any one thing Democrats have done well in the last 2.5 years. So what has Biden done?
Oh, man, ruining the economy. They're amazing at it. They're like the valedictorians of that.
That's a negative.
No one can touch them. But it's a win for them. So in some ways, it's a positive. Dana, how dare you? You using that linguistic jujitsu again? It's true. I mean, they're amazing at that. Also, snorting coke. They're so good with cocaine.
And not investigating where it came from.
Right. And they don't, and hiding it, hiding the use of it. I mean, you have literally two cokeheads in the White House at the same time. Still don't know where that cocaine came from. It is a mystery. We'll never know. It just, the cameras don't work. Crazy. I mean, Dana, is that linguistic jujitsu? I mean, maybe. I mean, they're really good at snorting coke, hiding coke, not taking accountability of their own kids, you know. Really good at that. Showering with daddy, apparently. President Daddy Showers, McUnity. That's his name, right? Why isn't that a sticker?
We haven't even mentioned the weaponization of government yet.
Okay, and that sounds like some of that linguistic jujitsu that Jen's all use.
Does that mean just poisoning the well right then?
You're pouncing. Oh. You're pouncing, sir.
My bad.
Mm. So I really want there to be a general election debate. I don't think Biden will make it. He'll pass out on stage. All right. Today in stupidity. What do we have,
all right,
sir?
FEMA Administrator Deanne Criswell, she was asked a question about how, you know, can you give us a sense on how the president believes Maui and the wildfire response has been so far? Listen to what she says here.
Sense for what how the president believes the response has been so far. Is he happy with all of it? Are there things that he believes should have been done differently or done in a separate manner, or has this been something that he has been pleased with?
Yeah, I continue to provide the president updates on what the response efforts are, and he always says, what else can we do? And we continue to move more resources in. I think based on the updates and the communication that I have had with the president, he is satisfied with our response, but he'll always push us to make sure that
he's on the beach. How would you know?
Yeah, exactly.
He's at Lake Tahoe now after his other 14-day.
Good Lord.
Good heavens. I know, exactly. Folks, that does it for us today. And we'll have a lot more for you tomorrow. Make sure you sign up for Chapter and Verse, the newsletter. You're going to want it. Like and subscribe. Follow us YouTube, Facebook, all that good stuff. I will be back behind the mic with you tomorrow.